Praise 100.9. This is Community Voices with Ron Holland, giving you an opportunity to share your thoughts, your perspective, your views on a broad range of issues impacting your neighborhood, community, your city, our nation, and indeed our world. We have another great show for you this morning. There are times where a good cause requires a positive and uplifting event to bring attention to tragedy and dilemma. And when that cause sheds light on domestic violence, it's critical that we address the issue with care and sensitivity. This morning, we're going to tackle domestic violence and spotlight an upcoming event that will encourage artists, models, comedians, and poets to fulfill their dreams. Joining me in the studio this morning is Khadija Wali Yehud, founder and CEO of Jazz Underground International, a nonprofit community advocate agency that offers expertise to corporate companies, musicians, actors, and fashion designers, specializing in fundraiser bookings and concert productions. Khadija Wali Yehud is also the founder of Mother Khadija's Domestic Violence for Youth Foundation, and she serves on the City of Charlotte's Domestic Violence Fatality Team Committee. Mother Khadija, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Thank you for having me, Ron. Nice to be here.
Absolutely. I am excited about having you here. You have a very interesting event coming up, and we're going to talk about that event, but I do want to talk about the very important issue of domestic violence. We've talked about this issue many, many times, and it is still an issue in our community. I don't suspect that it'll go away anytime soon. And so folks like yourself who is on the front lines of this thing, I'm certainly grateful that you're here to talk about it, to continue to let the community know that this is an issue that they should get involved in. So talk a little bit about some of the things that you've been doing since our last meeting.
Well, since the last time I was here, basically we have noticed a rise of domestic violence survivors coming to the forefront, needing help by these agencies that they come to. Mm-hmm. Just personally getting involved with their lives and seeing what the tangible items that they do need and how to cope psychologically with the abuse and leaving and the whole secrecy of having to restructure their lives. And then you deal with the aftermath of the event and their children. So what we're trying to do is just raise not just awareness, but create an outlet for people to come to get the resources that they need. So we're doing fundraisers. Mm-hmm. My inaugural event coming up in October 27th. So we're having an audition to be able to get some of these youths that are affected by domestic violence to express themselves, to let them become self-sufficient, but also be part of a wonderful event so that we can give back to agencies that support survivors of domestic violence.
There have been several agencies that have come through here, 100.9, and they've talked about some of the wonderful work that they're doing. But what I was surprised about was the idea that so many women are in shelters as a result of domestic violence. Any thoughts about that?
Well, you know, a lot of women, there's no room. That's why they're building the new shelter there off of West Boulevard. But you're limited with space at the battered women's shelter. Yeah. So that when that's full, then they go to hotels. And then when that expense gets to be too expensive and the budget gets cut from the government, then you have to go back to the main shelter. And that's where the problem is as far as security. Security issues arise because that's a public shelter. It's right. Not there to, you know, to segregate the domestic violence survivors. Everybody's in the same pool. So to be able to to let them feel that they are going to be protected, because that's what we're thinking at that point, is how can we feel secure in the public environment.
Right.
So that's the issues, that one of the main reasons why we're trying to raise these funds is that we can, you know, make sure that we don't turn down anyone. We don't say, well you can't stay because we don't have room. You know, we will want to provide that security and shelter for their families so that they don't go back and repeat the same situation.
Right. How involved are the police? Obviously, Charlotte police have a lot on their hands. So when you're asking for personal security or personal protection, mm-hmm. it is difficult, particularly given the kinds of funding mm-hmm. Coming from the state and those kind of things. So talk a little bit about what the police are doing and what they can do to make life better for women under suffering from domestic violence.
Actually, from a personal standpoint and being on the Domestic Violence Fatality Team Review, you know, and the police officers that are involved with that, mm-hmm. and Chief Monroe's doing a great job as far as learning what and understanding what all is behind with domestic violence, instead of we know it's a crime, but taking it above that, like how can we personally understand and help the community to stop repeating the cycle? And I really think that they're doing the best that they can do with the limited knowledge that they have, because you know, survivor's not going to come forth and tell you all the things, so they're limited with how much they can help. But I really think strategically that they're really trying to understand the situation.
Yeah.
And when you understand and take that time to investigate, and you can use different strategies and different approaches so that the community knows that you really do care about them individually, not just as a number.
What about the state and county? Talk a little bit about their efforts. Obviously, they're pouring money into this. They are providing some of the resources that are available to make sure that this thing is being dealt with. Talk a little bit about whether there is some disappointment or are there areas that they can do better. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, there's always room for improvement when it comes to community-involved work. And like I was saying before, it's really understanding the scope of domestic violence. It's really understanding what all can we do individually and not just because it's our job to do that.
Mm-hmm.
How can we effectively campaign to where we get the community more involved? Because it takes a village to raise a nation. So with that said, I know Patrick Cannon's got a domestic violence campaign. And I know that he's doing the best that he could do to really get involved and to show the community that, you know, he's not just there in the position just to do what he's doing. He actually is getting involved personally to combat this issue. So, and with that said, you know, we have to look at the people for who they are and what their passion in life is, and that they really do care about people. And when you see that genuineness, it really makes that, you know, an average person want to come forth and help. And with the state, I think what we have to just do is just, it's really the way we approach and our mindset in educating ourselves, because we think we might know about domestic violence, but if you haven't gone through that or haven't experienced that with your family or have a friend, you're not going to really know what to say. You might say the wrong thing, or you might not say the right thing, or you might not give enough information. But of course, we need more money funding to come in. And I think just the budget in general being cut back limits how much that we can do, because it does get pricey with marketing and, you know, gas is going up. So it's like we're doing the best we can with the resources. So I think if we really take this seriously, trying to end this crime, I think we can be really, really successful.
Well, one of the interesting things is, and I think about this every single time I hear this issue, and I think about you because you bring a particular type of passion to this issue. And I think one of the things that really is missing is the passion. And when we've talked before about this issue, I've always wondered, and I'm not suggesting that I'm not getting a satisfactory answer, but it's always an issue of why. Why do women continue to suffer in silence? Articulate that for me.
I mean, speaking personally, the embarrassment.
Yeah.
I think we're looked at as weak when we don't make good decisions because we are led with emotions by choosing, you know, ignoring the signs just because we don't want to be by ourselves. No one wants to be by themselves.
Yeah.
So with that's probably the main reason, but just not being looked at as a mature adult. It's just a lot of things that go, factors that go into the disappointments of having to expose what your failure is. Nobody wants to talk about what their weaknesses are. But in order to grow, you know, you need to educate yourself and learn from others' mistakes so that you don't keep repeating the mistakes, because our children are watching everything that we're doing. So whatever we do is going to implement down to them. So this is really mainly, it's the embarrassment of letting somebody know what you're going through and then being labeled as a weak person or being labeled as someone that just can't make good decisions.
Mm-hmm. And are there impediments, particularly family members? Because I always think about how family pass judgment and render verdicts about people's lives, and particularly those who are suffering. Well, you should leave. Or the other extreme is, well, you deserve it, or casting aspersions about women who are suffering in this issue.
Family can be your worst enemy, but they're used to either make you stronger or you're just going to be complacent and go back.
Mm-hmm.
I really think most people's family, it's just hard to, especially when you're a strong woman before the incident and then your self-esteem goes down. Family members tend to also ignore the issue or pretend like it just didn't happen. You know, some cultures, it's the hush-hush, let's not talk about it. You know, you should stay with your husband or stay with your wife. You should put up with it because that's what God wants. And in reality, we just have to know and love ourselves enough to where we're not going to put that up with anybody. We shouldn't take any abuse from anyone because, like I said, our children are going to implement that and repeat that with their generation and generation. So in order to break that curse, we have to just stand up and just say, enough enough's enough. We're just not going to tolerate that. But well, family members can be very critics just because they just expect. You know, when you put expectations on someone, it's going to lead to disappointments because it's not your role to do that.
Yeah, yeah. Now, you know, I'm a father of three, and I have a gorgeous daughter that, and she's 15 going on 30. But one day she's going to go into a relationship. As a father, obviously, I am the protector. What should I be looking for just in case it happens? Are there signs that an individual can kind of spot in terms of recognizing domestic violence?
There are obvious signs such as quick tempers, just arguing over just little stuff, just anything that doesn't, just petty stuff that doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, yeah.
How a person relates to a loss, whether it's a loss of job, a loss of someone in death. It's reading their emotions and things that they say, because not all relationships are going to tell you up front, oh, well, my dad used to beat my mom, until you get so deep to where you're emotionally tied to that person.
Yeah.
And then you start caring for them. It makes it harder to leave. But the signs can be obvious.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, just making sure that you listen to what they're saying, their speech, how they treat others, if they don't have compassion for their neighbor, just how they react under pressure.
Right.
That says a lot.
Okay. Now, the Congress, and you are involved in politics, and I love that about you. Congress passed their version of the Violence Against Women Act, and I was wondering if you had any thoughts about it, because their version, it limits protections for lesbians, gays, transgender Americans, Native Americans, and those kind of things. So any thoughts about the weakness of this particular legislation?
I really think you have to ask who was behind the ones that's passing the laws, because that tells a lot about why laws are not passed or that are passed. This topic of domestic violence is a crime. There is no specific race that's more affected than others. It doesn't matter what sex, gender that you're involved with. And taking that in consideration, people get scrutinized when you make it to where it's not protecting everybody, because what a person chooses, how they want to live their life, that's on them.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, people, you know, it's in God we trust. This is what the constitutional rights is governed under. And I think we have gotten so far away from how God views things that we're not giving him the praise that we're supposed to give him. And I think they're not taking that into consideration when they're making the laws, is that we have to protect all of God's people,
right,
just put limitations on who we feel is best that we should protect.
Absolutely. Now, you have an exciting event coming up, and I know it's a couple of months away, but I'm excited about it, and I wanted to give you an opportunity to talk about it. Saxology, tell me about it.
Well, Saxology is an album of a gentleman that I'm promoting, John Sax, out of Miami, Florida. He actually opened up with Patti LaBelle, Charlie Wilson. He's on a Caribbean tour, getting ready to go on a Caribbean tour with Music Soul Child and Fantasia. And the way that he knows how to bring the best out of you through his saxophone, he was so on board with trying to, he goes, you know, I want to be part of this domestic. I want to be able to, like, change the world with music. And that's my motto. I want to be able to change how people feel through music. So with that said, we wanted to bring his style and make it incorporated with the domestic violence charity fashion show.
Mm-hmm.
And I was able to partner up with District Attorney Jamie Adams, because she has a 501c3 with my nonprofit. She has an organization, the Family Enrichment Program, it's the Family Enrichment Movement Incorporated, and they help single moms with children, you know, get it together, get these resources, let's get your training, let's make sure that you're taken care of, because if we don't do that, no one else is going to do that.
Absolutely.
So with that, it's just so fitting that we partner, because this particular event, we're going to be able to help other agencies and help more women without having to be depending on the government's money. We are raising our own with the community's involvement so that we can help put people's sense of pride back into their life, develop their self-esteem. You know, if the Lord permits, give them more jobs. Let them become volunteers. Because, you know, you receive, but you also have to give back.
Absolutely. Well, speaking of John Sax, one of the interesting things that really excites me from a celebrity point of view is when celebrities and entertainers get involved in issues and concerns that really is a passion for them. Talk a little bit about the reservations some entertainers have as opposed to others who really find their niche in life in terms of addressing addressing personal issues?
Well, personally, Ron, I really feel that people want to get involved. I think all people want to get involved.
Just don't know how.
They might not know how, but they might feel it might affect their sales if they're labeled. It's all about how you're labeled in the industry. And no one wants to be labeled as just a community advocate or because there's no real money in doing charity work.
Right,
so people don't want to work. You know, times is hard. People want to make a living. They want to know that they have a nest egg to fall on. So they're about, most people are about the money. But when you find the ones that, business is business. You still have to make money. But when you find the ones that's really genuine about helping their neighbors, because it could be their mothers, it could be their nieces, it could be their aunts, it could be their neighbor, their best friend. And when they see someone going through that, how can they help stop it?
Right.
And then you got people that just don't care. So we try to like, we don't try hard. We just let God move the right people to us. They see what we've been doing and they just want to be part because it's a good cause, because they at some point could be affected by it.
Yeah. Now you have Mayor Pro Tem Pat Cannon and District Attorney Jamie Adams. Talk a little bit about their involvement.
Yeah. We have them as, we're honored to have them as guest speakers. As busy as their schedules are, I just thought that was just so important to me to show people in the community how involved they are. They're not just here just to speak. They're actually hands on with campaigning and doing the dirty work, getting out there, putting their hands to work, and really showing the community what we have to do as individuals. We can't just say, okay, well, it's your responsibility to do that because that's your title. No, he's doing that. I'm pretty sure if they didn't have the titles, they still would be doing that because it's their passion to see people do better in life. And that's why we chose them to be part of this, because I see what they're working with, and everybody needs help. You know, you want the right people on your team. You don't want people that are just there to for the limelight or just to reap the benefits. You want them to really be passionate about this.
Now, you also have some business entrepreneurs that that will be participating in the event. Talk a little bit about their involvement.
I have Tonice Gardner. She actually has a company, Enrich the Soul. She's also a survivor, a designer, event planner. She does it all. She, just basically the image of me. And she's going to also be one of the singers. And also she's going to be a model and provide me different designers to be part of this. Because, you know, what we want to do, we don't want it just to be, well, it's just about this. We want it to be able to promote people's businesses that's supporting this cause. Because that's the key. We have to network so smart that we promote people, but show them the other side of what they do.
Right.
Show them the charity side, the philanthropist side.
Absolutely.
And when you see that, it's like, wow, you know, I want to go buy that dress because, you know, not just because it looks good, but because, wow, they made me feel good when they did that charity event for domestic violence.
Absolutely. And that, again, that is a wonderful thing when you can invite people who are prominent in the community and they the kids get a chance to see that these people are actually involved. That's a wonderful thing. So what's driving you here? Is it just about domestic violence or is it something greater for you?
I think it's a combination of everything. I know my purpose. And unfortunately, it took me going through getting beat up and almost killed to identify with domestic violence and how it's affected me so greatly to where when I see I can help someone, even, you know, you don't have to have much to help people. But when you use your resources and the smartness that God gave you to make to be that change in the world. I'm like Mahatma Gandhi said, if you want to be to see change, you got to be the change that you want to see in others.
Absolutely.
And that's what drives me to do what I'm doing, because there's too many sad faces in the world. And honestly, I'm tired of it. So I'm like, in order for me to do something, I got to do something about it.
Well, talk a little bit about when you wake up in the morning. What goes into your day in terms of being able to fight this fight?
Oh, wow. You do not want to be a fly on my wall. But I deal with my own battles. Mm-hmm. And in order for me not to be focused on my emotional stress that I deal with and flashbacks of the past and, you know, times it's just hard. I just try not to even look at it like that. It's hard because I'm imperfect, so it happens. I try to seek to find somebody that I can help. And they always come my way. They always land on my door. I'm encountering them. And my spirit moves me to help someone that's a lot worse than what I am to make me appreciate the little bit that I do have.
Yeah.
That's what drives me every morning is I know every day I can help somebody.
Are you haunted by any of those flashbacks?
I'm haunted by just the effects in my children. Like, I want my children to be so passionate about life that I don't want to hold them back from helping people. So I think I just want to make sure my children turn out right. Emotionally, I'm eventually going to heal.
When I
do these events, I'm healing because I get to smile because I wasn't smiling for a long time. But when I can see someone else smile, it makes me smile. And I just know God really is proud of me that, you know, he chose the right one to do this mission.
Talk a little bit about the children that are perhaps witnesses of these kinds of violence or this kind of violence. Talk a little about what parents can do if they are victims of domestic violence. What can they do for their children?
Well, you know, if you have a close-knit, whether it's family or friends, if you have like an alternate place where they can go to, or sometimes you just have to up and just go and just relocate. The environment is everything, because children, whether they hear it or they see, they might not actually witness the abuse, but they see the abuse on your face. They hear conversations. They see your emotional trauma. If we could just take that in consideration and make sure not to argue in front of them, not to stir up an argument, because if you are in a situation like that, you know what's going to make that person tick. So you want to make sure not to do that, especially around the children. Or if you feel like it's going to happen, remove the kids from the situation. It's not as easy as said, because sometimes it's just you don't know when it's going to spur up on you. You know, days might be just going fine, and then something that he went through or something that he had flashbacks with, or she, sparks it. So it's just teaching the children what not to take, showing the kids the signs, because you want them, because there's other children that are become abusers at a young age. So you want to make sure that you educate your children. Look, you don't want to play with Tommy or Susie if they're doing this or using this kind of language, or if they're hitting you back over and you're playing over toys. It's like you want to be able to educate your children so that they can recognize the signs and understand that okay, it's time for us to move. So you have to let them know what that security safety plan is. When we're going to leave, okay, whatever, if you have to give them a code, look, this is the code. If I say this, that means get that bag that we have packed and relocate. So really, it's just about preparing your family.
Absolutely. And for that woman that might be listening to this show right now, that might be cowering in the corner, anticipating that door being knocked down and she being dragged and being punched and kicked, what is your message to her right now?
Leave. Do not give up on prayer. Prayer works miracles. And go on faith. It's the blind faith that God's looking at. Because there's people like myself that will help you. We are here to help you, not to let you go back. We don't want you to go back to that situation. We want you to be better. There's ways to be self-sufficient. Even if you have little or no money, there's ways to make it work.
Right. Mother Khadija, Sexology. Any last thoughts? When is the event?
Well, we have a casting call coming up July 28th, which is the last Saturday of this month at Red at 28th and NOTA, 2424 North Davidson, from 3 to 4:30. Registration fee is $25. We're looking for models, comedians, poets, musicians, any talent that wants to be part of the October 27th domestic violence inaugural event to support Jazz Underground International.
Absolutely. Well, Mother Khadija, thank you so much for coming in and talking about this very important issue as well as sexology. Thank you so much for coming in this morning. I certainly appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me, Ron. Have a blessed day.
You too. Thanks, Nat. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I'll wrap up the show. This is Community Voices with Ron Holland on Praise 100.9. We'll be back in a moment. Praise 100.9. This is Community Voices with Ron Holland. I want to again thank Khadija Wali Yehud, Mother Khadija, for her commitment and absolute dedication to efforts to end domestic violence. I strongly urge you to log on to her website, www.jazzunderground.webs.com, for more information about the fourth inaugural domestic violence charity fashion show, as well as the bevy of other important work she's doing in the community. This is Community Voices with Ron Holland. If you have any comments on today's show, please send me an email, ronholland@radio-1.com or ronholland25@yahoo.com. I also invite you to visit my blog for some insightful and provocative commentary, www.ronhollands.blogspot.com. Thank you so much for tuning in to this week's Community Voices. I'm Ron Holland. We'll talk with you next week.